Jesus, it shall be done. The Bible said, ask, and it shall be given. Seek, and ye shall find. And then he said, what? Come on, he said, what? I can't hear you. Help me say, knock, knock. And he said, it shall be open. And if you believe it, come on, put your hands together and give God praise. Come on, give it praise. Give it praise. You feel the choir? Y'all not finished singing. Come on. Amen. Come on, choir. My. That's all. That's it. I need another soprano. Something I've had it.
God bless you and you and especially you this morning. Somebody just need to take the few minutes and take the time and just go ahead and give God his praise. I'm telling you, by you just open up your eyes this morning and God, my God, and having you on the right direction, go ahead and give him the praise. I know some of you probably say, well, Pastor, that is just so traditional and all that there. Baby, let me tell you something. So much a depth in the morning of giving God a praise. You are prophesizing, my God, and also you are bringing warfare in a time, my God, where you don't even know you may need it or not. Amen. You is bringing a place, you in a place, you prophesizing that whatever blessing that God has for me today, whatever blessing that God has for me, my God Almighty, going throughout the day, or whoever, my God Almighty, God's going to use to be a blessing to me, I'm prophesying under the name of the Jesus Christ. I'm already giving my praise. I'm already giving my thanks. Well, some of you, my God Almighty, you might not be expecting blessing. You probably be expecting, my God Almighty, trials or some type of warfare or whatever. Well, baby, start your morning off before the enemy get busy or want to use or plan a plot in somebody's head. You go ahead and give God a praise. Go ahead and tear down, my God, or dismantle anything that tries to rise up against you that is not of God. I'm telling you today, it is your praise. It is your time. It is your season. We just giving God the praise. Don't you allow nothing to stop you up under the unction, my God Almighty, of the Holy Ghost. I just got to give him praise. Hallelujah. My God Almighty, he is worthy to be praised. God bless you all over the world, all over America. We thank God for each and every one of you, especially we thank God for our international partners. We give God the glory, my God, all over the world. We thank you for your support. Amen. Supporting this ministry as they begin to bring forth the word in the form of outreach, in the form of social media, to just bring forth, you, my God, the word of God to you, my God. And we just thank God for, we thank everyone for you on tuning in and just stopping in, and my God, and we helping you to start your morning or afternoon. It depends on where you at in the world. We thank here, right here in the United States of America. God bless all of you. We thank God, my God, for each and every one of you. This is your season. My God, for you can walk into your blessing, walk into your favor. Don't you allow anything in your life or your situation to dictate to you differently. Amen. You just want to constantly to give God the praise. Amen. And we just continue to give him the glory. I'm telling you, you are truly blessed. Amen. But I'm telling you, you're the one that needs to know it. You need to know it for yourself that you are truly blessed. I dare you. My God Almighty, I know you probably got up this morning and started taking care of some hygiene, but I dare you to walk by a mirror and just look at it and say, I am truly blessed. Amen. Blessings coming my way this morning. Blessings going to run me down this morning. Each way I look, blessings coming. Every door that I come in contact with today is going to be an opportunity that is going to open up for me. Not for the bad, but it's going to be for it good. Because why? I am blessed in highly favored. Amen. I just give God the glory and we honor him in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you as we begin to engage in this moment, in this morning, into this day. We are engaging, my God. We are engaging not only our weapons of warfare, but we are engaging, my God Almighty, our God-given rights, the rights that you gave us to walk in for today, to begin to receive for today, the rights as sons and rights as daughter of the Most High in the kingdom of God. So, God, we thank you, God, that today is going to be a day of blessing. Today is going to be a day of good news. Today is going to be a day, my God Almighty, to where things that was going in a certain direction in my life or in our life, today it's going to turn around and work for good. Why? Because we are sons and daughters of the Most High. Amen. All things work together for the good that loves, my God, him. And therefore, my God, we already gave not the reason why. So therefore, my God, any kind of diabolical influence or any kind of demonic presence don't have any type of jurisdiction to come in to bring warfare, to bring attack upon, my God, our request, our demand in the name of Jesus. We're going to give you the praise. We give you all the glory. And as everyone all over the world, they begin to shout glory. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, my God Almighty, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm not going to be on to bring too much, take up too much time. I'm just going to go ahead and just bring forth, my God, Evangelist Elect. God bless you.
God bless you. God bless you. God bless everyone this morning that's under the sound of my voice. It is such a beautiful day because we rose this morning. We rose, and we just thank God for that. As we know, we are doing a series on wisdom, and if you can recall, two of the words God gave was slow down. And today we're not going to sit in. I am going to read the scripture, but we're going to deal off of life experiences. Because one thing that I know about wisdom is it's something that you have to, it's not something that we were born with. It's something that we have to earn. It's something that's deserving. And how is that? By our actions, by our experiences. But the scripture that I am going to build off of is James 3, verse 13. I'm going to start with verse 13. If you are wise and understand God's ways, prove it by living an honorable life, doing good work with the humility that comes from wisdom. Okay. And when I read this scripture, what it let me know, the word that stuck out with for me, it was two words. The first one was understand. And what is understand? Understand means to grasp. It's the meaning or reasonableness or to be thoroughly familiar with. And then the second word was humility. Humility means that you have to have just, you've had to go through something that has just broken you down. and you have been broken. Humility is brokenness. So with that being said, let's have a discussion. So we know, like I said, wisdom is not something you're born with. It's through, you attain wisdom through life experiences. And as yesterday I said, it may have been the day before, each and every last one of us have played the fool role in our lives. And I wish I could sit and tell you on today, and some people may not understand and some people may disagree with me, but I am grateful that in my life I played the fool role. I am grateful in my life that I had some things in my life that put me in a situation that knocked me down and brought me in a state of humility, because humility brings on humbleness. And we know that in order, as I stated, wisdom is not something that is we are born with. So during my time of being broken down, God was doing some things in me. In the humility, most people, shame comes with that. But when you are sitting and you are going through different things and you're inviting God to go through these things with you, he starts showing you things. And those experiences, those bad experiences that you have went through in life, you start learning from them. You start learning. You start picking. I don't know if you all played where you throw the ball down and you pick up the little silver thing and whatnot. You pick them up, throw the ball, you pick it up, you throw the ball, you pick it up, and until you get all of them in your hand, and then you've won the game. And that's how life is. And this, your experiences, is what helps you to get to attain wisdom. And then we have to understand things. If you can't understand the things that you have went through, then you're going to continue to go through the same thing over and over again. If you do not learn to comprehend what you're doing, then it makes no sense, because you did not learn anything. And that's how things is with on a day-to-day living. Day-to-day living, you may sit and say, yeah, I understand that. Yeah, I have you. I got you. You could be sitting and giving somebody some instructions. And I could be the first to sit and say, I am one of the most transparent people that you can ever deal with. My supervisor may sit and tell me something, and in my mind, at that time, I may sit and say, yeah, I have it. But then when I go and sit back and I try to initiate what I'm doing, I realize that I don't have it because I didn't grasp it. Because it may be something that I've never done before. Or it may be something that I've done before, but I may have not did it the right way. Or I may not have done it the way that I'm being asked to do it. So therefore, I did not grasp it. And in order for us to understand and apply wisdom into our life, we have to understand things. We have to be knowledgeable of things. You have to understand self first. You have to look in that mirror and see the things about self, and then be able to, during your period of humility, humble yourself in those areas. Because one thing that I know is that God will put the people before you. He will put people, he will put places, he will put things before you to help you along the way. But then if you are a know-it-all, if you are a person that does not want to identify their faults, their findings, then that means that you are not growing. That means that you are not grasping what is being said to you. So therefore, when you sit and you pray and ask God for wisdom, you're not going to get that wisdom because you can't identify with wisdom. You can't identify the fact that you need to understand things. You can't identify with the fact of the knowledge, the information, the interpretation,
that is given to you, because you have a block up. And that block is that I don't need to know it that way because I've done it this way. What wisdom is given by measures. If you sitting and you have you and you've done something and you've learned, you've grasped and you've applied what you've learned, then you can get a little ounce of wisdom. And the more that you sit and you identify maybe with your faults, with your past experiences, and you're opening up and receiving that you've gotten this thing that's hindering you, you've gotten this obstacle that's been bothering you, you figured out a way that you can maneuver around it or even go through it. The more you put things into action, the more that you will get. But if you choose not to learn yourself, I have to go with self. Let's break it down. I can sit and go through the same thing in life over and over, just like the Israelites did. And I can sit and say, I got it this time. I got it right this time. But then I don't have it right because I don't have all the information. I didn't download everything about Nita that may have had to change. Or I may have not been in a place of humility so much to the point that I wouldn't just stop doing some of the things that I've done. But yet I can try to come and give you godly advice. And that godly advice is not going to manifest because I'm not in a position or a place to give it to you. And this is how wisdom works. I could sit and talk to you all day. I did it for years. All day, calling myself, going to people, telling them this, telling them that, telling them, and nothing ever happened because I hadn't cleaned and emptied out myself. Because even the things that I thought was being done in the right way, I wasn't doing it in the right way. I was doing it in the foolishness way. I know you all have heard what people say, girl, I love you to death. I used to tell my sons, I used to tell my husband, everybody that I know, I love you to death. But when I realized the words that I was saying, I stopped saying it. But then I looked at my actions. When my sons were asked to do things and I know that it was a bad thing, I'm loving them to death. I'm allowing them to continue to walk in sin, walk in error. When my husband may have been doing things that he knew that he wasn't supposed to be doing, but he was sitting and making away from the household, but I know that it may have made me tremble or made me realize because of that reverence I had for God, I just didn't have enough of it. I didn't have enough fear for him because I didn't stop him and whatnot, but I was loving him to death. When we sit and allow people to enter their actions into their ways and we know that they're not of God, we're loving somebody to death. That's not using wisdom. Wisdom is honorable. Wisdom is truth, being truthful. And in order to have wisdom, you have to have a pureness about yourself, a genuine heart. So that means you got to go through some things to get there. That means that you have to sit and the things that you go through, you need to sit and say, I did this. So how can I sit and correct this? You have to sit and make a conscious decision about the things from your past because that's how the wisdom moves forward. You're learning. It's a learning experience. It's something that's learned. I don't want to say it's something that's learned. It's something remembered. It's a way that you have to remember things. So when you down that old crooked path, you taking the things that was on that crooked path and you are learning from them. You are changing, a transformation take place, and you put it on the straight and narrow path. And that's when you meet wisdom. That's when wisdom comes into the place and wisdom is able to guide you and lead you and give you the discernment and the understanding. And then you're able to interpret things the right way. And that's when that success come in, that prosperity come in, that overflow comes in, because now you're taking your old man is changing into your new man. But it comes by experience. And that's why I sit and say, I thank God for the experiences that I went through. I'm not saying that he allowed me to go through anything, because we have choices. But those experiences are the things that helped me break, that broke me down, that put me in a place right here now where I don't have shame, but I have honor, because I know that I'm striving to live how God wants me to live. I know that the experiences that I went through before is helping me on today to keep it moving. And that's why I sit and I pray and I ask God on a day-to-day basis to pour a little bit more wisdom in me, so my insight, the things that I'm looking into, will be clearer. My visions will not be blurry. I'm able to sit and work towards the things that I have already, that God has already shown me that I need to get to. But I said, like I said, it comes from experience. It comes from you recognizing also who God has put before you. You recognizing the change that has occurred in your life. Now, if you sit and you stay where God has opened the door for you and you choose to stay or sit and ponder where you're at, then, of course, no, the wisdom not going to come and get up and go with you. It's not. You're not going to receive it. You have to be in a place where you're understanding what you're doing. You have to be in a place where you're knowledgeable about the things that you're doing, so God can sit and pour into you. We all fall short of God's glory. We all make mistakes, but we have the ability to capitalize off of those mistakes and move into a place based off of those mistakes, and we turn it around. Wisdom comes with the transformation. Wisdom comes with the renewing of the mind. Wisdom comes with a pure and genuine heart. Father, you know my heart, and I don't have it right yet, but I'm in a place where I'm willing to learn. I'm in a place where I'm attempting to understand the things that's before me, but I didn't get it right this time, Lord. So I need you to show me again. And that's when you go back and you flip the pages and you sit and say, okay, well, when I did this and I did this, I did it this way, but now I want to do it this way, and I want to do it with wisdom. I want to do it knowing that the things that I'm doing, I'm being led by God. Because one thing about wisdom, when we attain wisdom, it doesn't go away unless you choose to turn your life back into living like a fool, unless you choose to undo what God has given you, because it's a gift. Now, if you take that gift and you treasure it and you realize that this is something that God has given me because of my good deeds, because of my humility, because of my compassion, James 3:18, it tells you all of these different things, the characteristics that you get when you obtain wisdom, the changes that occur in your life, the way that you're able to be a blessing to others or even a blessing to yourself. Because when you would no longer, once you have decided to allow wisdom to be a part of your life, a way of living, something that's remembered, something that's honorable, you become humbled. You're not sitting, you're not bragging and boasting. If God sit and bless you with a airplane, you're not sitting and bragging and boasting about that airplane. You're using wisdom and realize that's something that you asked for, and God gave it to you because you're humbled. You were humiliated. You went into a season of humility, and that humility turns into humbleness. You're not walking around with a prideful attitude. And then wise people, they always live in, you get into a place where you are striving to live upright with good morals. You know, I always like to sit and say, when you sit and you throw when you're getting ready to throw a piece of paper on the ground or on the highway, and you know that that's going to give you a ticket. It's breaking the law. You know, those different good deeds, or you know that your neighbor is in there and they hungry, and you're able to go and feed them, even though, just because. I don't care if you don't like them. Wisdom is going to sit and change that around and sit and tell you this is the best thing for you to do. This person is over there hungry. This person may be over there sick. I need you to show some good deeds. And then gentle. When you're gentle, you're caring. You're going to people. You're having respect even when they don't respect you. You still have a gentle spirit. When you was a fool, you'll sit and you'll cuss them out and sit and tell them, I don't need you. I don't do this. Or you not this. Or you not that. But when you allow wisdom to come into place, then you start treating people how you want to be treated just because. No matter what they're going through, no matter what they've said, no matter what they've done to you, you're still in a place where you're gentle with them. And then you're considerate. You put the needs of other people in front of you, but I want to throw a disclaimer on that. You need to pray about that and make sure that it's not something that God got going on and you're not interfering in it. But in the event that he said and tell you, yes, let's consider this person. Let's go ahead and do this for this person. And like I said, even if they're your frenemies or they're your enemies, call themselves your friends, but you know that they still stabbing you in the back. But God is telling you to go ahead and you be the head and allow them to be the tail, but you're sitting there and you're still doing something with them. You're considerate. And then peace and love, and wise people don't foster division. They work together in strife and in turmoil. So when you have a situation that's going on and you got two and three people sitting and saying, no, that's what everybody want to be an Indian, you, the person who has attained wisdom, is that person that sit and say, no, you're going to come up with something so peace can be into that situation. Whereas the fool would sit, I'm talking about Nita, the fool would sit and get up and tell you where to go and walk away and tell you to get it done yourself. But when you, that transformation, when you learning from your old past experience, you're able to be that peacemaker. You're able to be that person to sit there because now you have patience, you have understanding because you went through these different things to put you to the place that you're at now. And then merciful, you demonstrate compassion. You demonstrate forgiveness. This is a big one for me, where people that you've said and you've helped, you've done all the things above that I've spoken about, and they just constantly, for no reason, stab you in the back. It could be because of jealousy. It could be because of hatred. But you're the person in a position that they feel like don't have nothing but what they don't know. When you start falling in love with Jesus, you have everything. But you have to be able to sit and forgive them and still have compassion and keep it moving on. Just wave your hand in the air just like you don't care and keep it moving. But you're not harboring those old feelings. You're not harboring the things that they've done to you. And that took me. It took me. I went through something a couple of years ago, and it took me some time to get over it, and I talked to my apostle about it sometime, and the words that were said to me was, if you can't forgive, then God can't forgive you, and then you have to make a decision of who you serving. Are you serving them, or are you serving God? Because if you serving God, the things that they do, see, this is where that experience come in. The things that they do shouldn't bother you because you focused on God. The things that they do, you don't see them because you're focusing on what God has for you, and it is for you. You know, and that's where we have to be at. We cannot harbor that. We cannot harbor unforgiveness. We have to give, put forgiveness there. And that's what unforgiveness was, a hard thing for me. But when I opened up and I allowed the wisdom that God was giving me in that situation, when you look into that situation with that unforgiveness and that forgiveness, God will make your enemies your footstool. God will make your enemies come into you, whereas before they talked about you, they scandalized you, they lied about you, they did all types of things. But when that wisdom, when that transformation comes and you focus on God and you know who God is, and he gives you that gift, you know what happens? You literally start feeling sorry for him. You literally, what God did for me was, God allowed me to feel the love for them that he felt for them. He allowed me to feel the compassion that he feels for them. So I can't even say I have a moment where I dislike them. And I used to use the word hatred because I was a fool. But now God turned that thing around and gave me that unconditional love, that agape love. But I'm not that fool that's going to stick my hand in that snake pit. I'm that person that's going, that this wisdom, this wise woman that God is in the making of, that's going to sit, and if you're hungry, I'm going to feed you. If you're thirsty, I'm going to feed you. If you call and say, hi, how are you doing? I'm going to say, I'm doing fine, and you. But I'm not going to stay in that same place because I don't want to go back into the past. I don't want to go back into a place where unforgiveness comes. I want to be merciful. I want to be there. And then you have to be sincere. You have to be sincere about the things that you do. You can't just sit and say, yeah, I got it. I got it. But I'm going to do what you asked me to do, but I can't stand you. I'm going to do it or whatever. You got to do it with genuineness, and you have to be real about it, and you have to be honest about things that you do. You have to be deceitful. You cannot be deceitful. You cannot be hypocritical. You know, and when you are in a place like that, when you are like that, because God has given promotion come before God, it takes me back to my old self, my foolish self, in my old life. A big, nice, beautiful job, head of things, dealing with things. But because of my old ugly ways, of my ways where this person got on my nerves and this person did this and not this person, you get lackadaisical. You get complacent. Now you're doing things out of habit. You're not doing it because you're genuine. You're not doing it because this is something that you put your heart in. And now today, years later, after going through some things, after being set down to the lowest of the lowest, everything stripped, high and mighty, boastful, driving around in the big and nicest cars and living in the big and nicest places, you get stripped, and then you sit and you ask yourself why. But see, on today, that's why I said I'm glad. Because when God decided to, when I start changing things and not leaning on my own understanding and trusting in the Lord and asking God for wisdom, I asked him for a long time and never got it because I wasn't in a place to receive. My mind wasn't right. My heart wasn't right. My everything that I was doing, I might have been doing it, driving big and boastful cars and doing the things that I was doing because I wanted to boast. I wanted it all eyes on me. But when God took when I put myself in a situation, let's get it correct. When I put myself in a situation to get everything stripped away, when I sat laid there talking to God, even on my deathbed, talking to God, and asking him, if you give me another chance, but this time I'm going to allow you to do it and give me all the benefits that you can give to me. But the one I want the most is I want to make wise decisions. I want to make sound judgment, but I want to know what I'm doing. There you go. God put the people that he told me about 10 years before in my life, but I had to make a change. And even when I came into their life and they came into my life, I still didn't recognize it at that time. I had to go through some things. I had to go through some humiliation. I had to go through some lies and whatever. I sat with scandalous myself. And God had to sit and chastise me, sit me down, and let me know this is what you asked for. I want to give it to you, but I need you to do some things. Now go back, look over your life, look over the things that you've done in the past, and make your crooked ways into straight ways. And the more I pour in, the more love I pour into you, the more genuine that you will be. The more you allow the Holy Spirit to lead you and guide you, the more peaceful you will come. The more compassion will come into your heart. The wrong things that you're doing that shame in my name, you will correct them. And then I will start pouring into you. And when I made a conscious decision to do those things, that's when God started pouring into me. And the things that I thought might have been hard, they became like secondhand to me. They became something that I could do right off of the top of my head. Or when I'm given instruction, I could sit and ask God, okay, God, which way do I do this? How do I do this so it can be done in excellency? Because when wisdom comes into your life, you're not giving God just anything. You're giving him everything. Because wisdom is not a person that's going to sit and cheat God. Wisdom walks hand in hand with God. Wisdom is one of God's attributes. So when God poured into you, he's doing it because he expects the things, he expects you to give to him just as he gives to you. And that takes me to the point that you have to be impartial. You have to be fair when you're dealing with people. Even if the people wronged you and they come up against you again, when it's time to make a sound decision and they may need something or something may need to be done a certain way, you cannot sit and treat them any differently, because we know that God is not a respecter of persons. God does not sit and say, okay, I'm going to give Apostle Temple this, because he does A, B, and C, and I'm going to give Evangelist Elect this because she only does D. God, we have to be impartial when we're dealing, or we have to show partiality when we're dealing with others so they can benefit things as well. Whereas you might not want to give them knowledge anymore, but they're still seeking for it. If they have came into a place where they're ready to do a transformation, to change, then that's when you deal with them. I have to do this with my baby boy. I have to do this with him. 2 weeks ago, he got into a situation that could have caused him death. But because his mother and father has made a conscious decision that they're going to put their old, ugly, wicked, nasty, deceitful ways to the side and show and lead by example like they used to do from the beginning, but then let different curveballs of life turn them into something different. Your kids, people look at that, they see that, and they feel like if that person can do it, it's okay to do it. That's what goes on in the church right now. People see it, the congregation see leaders doing things, and they think that it's okay to do it, but it may be foolishness. So the other night, I got a call from one of his friends, and he was frantically looking for him and said that something in Atlanta, 40-something people had got shot, and the last he spoke to my son was supposed to be, was going to the area where they were, I guess, hanging out, a partying or whatever. So everybody, I'm not there. My son's not there. Everybody calling, but there's no answer on the phone. So my husband has to stop what he's doing to go to make sure he's in the house. And he's in the house. And then when he wakes up, he says to me, Mama, I'm not a fool anymore. This happened to me 2 weeks ago. Bullets don't have eyes, and these people walk around, and they do this, and they do that. See, that was a learning. That was his situation, that experience was a teachable moment for him. It was a moment where he understood what was going on. It was a moment that he was knowledgeable of what was going on. So he didn't make the same foolish mistakes. He went and he allowed wisdom to guide him. He allowed, he took that past mistake and he turned it into something new. And he didn't go to a place where he could have. We could have not seen him again. And when we saw him, he could have been laying in a casket. Because he's right, bullets does not have eyes. So what God is sitting and saying to you today, and he's still saying it to me because I'm always asking to be taught. He's telling you to take your old crooked ways. Don't sit and live in them. Excuse me. Don't live in the past. Don't park in the past. But ask yourself, what did you do before that you can apply to your life now? To help you get up on your feet, to help you get to the next level, that can help you be prosperous where you might be in a season of lack of, will help you to gain knowledge because it's there, to help you see the light when you saw the light when you was doing wrong. This is where we're at now. This is why it's so important in our lives to invite wisdom, to pray and ask God to give us that gift of wisdom so things will get better, so you can walk a life of prosperity, so you don't have to live in the projects no more. You don't have to sit and catch a bus if you don't want to catch a bus. You asking God to show you the way, to show you ways where you can move up, where you can get into a better place, where you can sit and even if you having problems at your home, where you can make better decisions about the things that you're doing. Even if you sitting and you quarreling and you fussing and you fighting, let wisdom tell you what to say, when to say, or even if you just need to be quiet. Allow wisdom to put you in a place where you will be the head and not the tail, where you are able to, those frenemies become your footstool, where what man meant for evil, God will turn it to good. Things that everything works together for God's good. You want those type of moments. You want those type of moments where you sit and you may have been accused of this and accused of that, but you know that you didn't do it, but then you become the governor over Egypt and you get us out of a famine. It's so many things that can take place if you allow, if you receive, if you understand, if you gain knowledge. If you do not have knowledge, wisdom and knowledge works together. Understanding and wisdom works together. And all of those different characteristics, once the transformation takes place, it all works together. It all takes you in a place. It sets you up for kingdom economics. It sets you up for kingdom principles. It sets you up to be blessed. Receive kingdom blessings. God, open up the window and pour down because you're not leaning on your own understanding. You're trusting God. And wisdom is working hand in hand. So I sit and say to you today, when you have some downtime, sit and write a list. I'm a writer. Write a list of the things that you may have done that could possibly help you if you change your mind and you turn it around, the experience that you have that can be turned around from a negative into a positive. And then when you do it, you're not doing it with shame. You're not looking over your back. You're doing it with honor because now God is a part of it. You're not living for Satan anymore and his diabolical imps. You're living for God, so you walk in honor. He's giving you beauty for your ashes. He's the things that you used to sit and be humiliated about it. There, you're no more humiliated. You're humbled. You're humbled, and you're in a position where God can use you. You're in a position where you can receive blessings. You're in a position where you don't have to sit and argue about this and argue about that, but you're in a place that you can receive constructive criticism if that's what needed to be. You're in a place that you can receive wisdom, something that's going to lead you and guide you. So all of this I'm sitting and saying, and everything that I sat and broke down, I'm going to leave you with this. When you're in a place where you're seeking God and you want that close relationship with God, and any and everything that he is willing to give you, God wants us to reap his benefits. God wants us to reap the promises that he's given us. God wants us to live in a life of prosperity here on earth as it is in heaven. Ask God to show you, to lead you, to guide you. And then once you have cleaned and cleared everything out and you've gotten your list together, start checking things off one by one once you've turned that crookedness into a straightness. And and pay attention to how your discernment would get a little better, how your insight would get a little better. And just pay attention to where you started at point A. And you might have really did an increase by the time you got to F. I don't know. But I do know that once you ask and once you receive and once you believe, that virtue will be given to you. So I say all of that, and I pray that the words that came out of my mouth was definitely acceptable to God and that it helped someone. And as I always sit and say, you all know Monday through Thursday, we're on the line breaking bread, receiving our daily manna, and we are not thirsty. We are sitting and we are getting an overflow. So I invite you on tonight again to come on our prayer line, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and the number is 385-799-9620. Again, it's 385-799-9620. We love you, but God loves you best. And remember, slow down, take the time out to let go and let God. See you tonight. Have a blessed day.
Forgive him.